We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Tom E. Kern.
I can do it.
Oh, you can do it?
Yeah, he can.
Okay.
Do it.
Tommy Kern on the Harbor One hotline. Tommy there? Oh, there he is.
Here I am.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Are you in Orlando, obviously, right?
I am.
Okay. You take some time to go to Disney World?
No. This is work, man. This is straight flipping work. I hit some balls one time.
I love it. Like, you bring your clubs. You bring your clubs this time, though?
I always bring my clubs.
Oh, God.
Man. I throw everything into my golf travel bag just in case. And oftentimes, I don't even use the clubs.
So how's it been down there? I feel like, you know, the first coaches meeting, you know, offsite coaches meeting where Bill has not been there. It's been mixed reviews here back at home, first with Gerard Mayo, today with Robert Kraft. Just your general observation of after talking to both guys.
They just don't know what they're going to be. And I think that we're seeing a creeping embrace of the uncertainty and not acceptance, but a realization that they're not going to be very good. And I think you can read that between the lines in some of the things that they're saying. And you can polish that, if you like, and try and look on the bright side of things. And Robert Kraft said this morning that he's an eternal optimist. But I really, truly think that we would look back on this in 2028 or so, and the chances are extremely high that we're going to look back and say, wow, that was a tough year, man. I'm not saying that it's not going to work in 2025, 26, 27, or that this regime is doomed. All I'm saying is they are up against it. And I think it's starting to dawn on them. I mean, they are Siberia in terms of a location and destination, and they are Rome after the fall degree
is
where they are.
Hard to get happy after that answer. Anyway, yesterday.
It is what it is. So you can look and say, hey, there's only one way to go.
It's all up from here. Tom, what was your response? I think it was like five times yesterday. Gerard Mayo used some form of the phrase, the Krafts have given us the ability to sign big contracts, do what we need to do, do what we want to do, whatever. He kept going back to it, and he kept saying again. What was your takeaway from that? Is that just how he feels? Was he sort of passing along a message that maybe somebody asked him to pass along? Was it in reference to the cheap words that have been thrown around this offseason early in free agency? What did you make of that?
I made of that it's the driving conversation right now, and it has been for a while. I mean, we spent time at last year's owners' meetings grilling Robert Kraft about spending as well. And at that point, Robert Kraft said for, I don't know where on the number of times it was, but I have never told Bill that he can't spend on a player. And I truly believe that to be the case. However, I think that Bill, Christian, you can speak to this as well. Bill was extremely frugal, economically sound, and used contracts and money and as a way to maintain authority in a very effective way. And he understood how contracts work in the locker room, the chemistry of them, and the planning necessary to keep the team cycling through. So Robert had good cover for a long time with Bill doing that. And now that Bill's not here and spending isn't there, it's deflecting more and more to Robert, who can only say, they can spend what they want whenever they're here. Now, I will say this again. Do you remember the Patriots, Andy, you don't, Christian, Andy, you do, Christian, you don't, in the late 90s? Kraft could not throw enough millions at players.
Yep.
Couldn't stop himself. Bill came in and said, we're going to cut the crap with that, and we're going to start the season with like 48 guys on the roster because you're in cap jail because you paid everybody.
Yep.
So it's interesting to watch all of this unfold.
So we're talking to Tommy Curran live from Orlando, Mickey Mouse's neighborhood. I can't believe you're not going to go to the unhappiest place on the face of the earth. But I'm sure Dan Roach is down there, and I'm sure he'll end up going there. Maybe he'll invite you there.
With your ear-to-ear smile with the Mickey Mouse ears on and everything.
Oh, my God. I can't. I hate Disney World. So, you know, even Andy was talking about this whole one voice, the one voice that we got with Bill for so many years. I'm wondering if they all kind of reconvene and when they all get back to Foxborough and kind of talk about, you know, hey, let's get our ducks in a row so we all say the same thing about the same things.
That's a great observation that I hadn't really even thought of, because there are a lot of different – look, I don't think that Mayo really is – he wants to kind of move, it feels to me, in conversation. That's an Elliott decision. That also is an Elliott decision. The 20 open roster spots, that's an Elliott decision. They hired me to coach, to be a leader, to implement some chemistry and values that will appeal to younger players. I'm intending to do that. But Elliott's in charge of the roster, so let him answer that stuff. But they have – but Elliott's not here. So you can't have one voice and say, well, the coach can't talk about this stuff. So he does end up speaking about it. And I think he did okay with doing that, but the rawness – is kind of apparent. Again, it's this stuff has been thrown together. They did not expect Bill to go 4-13. They did not expect to have to pull the plug on Bill. When they realized the team wasn't getting any better, was actively getting worse, that a first-round pick quarterback had been ruined, that all the free agents from 2021 didn't work out, and they had to reboot again, they accelerated the process. But in accelerating it, they moved on to something that they have, you know, spackled together.
Tom, one of the points that Robert brought up or was asked about was the dynasty, obviously, and he said he wished it had been a little bit more positive, and he talked about some of the Super Bowls and all those things. Can we put a bow on that? And to your knowledge, how much say did Robert Kraft have over the dynasty and what actually made its way to Apple TV?
I don't think he had any kind of editorial control where he said to them, hey, try and make Bill look bad. I think that the dynasty producers, Matt Hamachek and the other folks involved, you know, Ron Howard, the production team who financed it, they wanted to tell a story that would appeal to people nationwide. And that meant you were going to leave out things that appealed to folks locally. The untold stories of the Patriots, the Aaron Hernandez stuff. Now, I would absolutely say that Robert Kraft did not do an outstanding job of crediting Bill Belichick and saying, look, I empowered him to make these decisions, and we benefited greatly from it all the way through. Would I do it again? Probably all the way through. Would I do the Brady thing again? Probably, because Bill earned that in 2018, the way he, you know, that team performed. So I deferred to him. I made the decision. Would I do it again? Yes. And he didn't say that enough. So it more became, I think, over the course of time, Robert bristling at, it's Tom and Bill, and I'm not getting anything, and I'm the one who kept them together. And this was his star turn to do that. But he didn't understand how it would be framed by editors. Andy, you and I, and Christian, you too. You sit there and you talk to people in interviews, and you get something you didn't expect that you think is juicy. You're not going to put that on the cutting room floor or not type it into your laptop in order to explain something that's informative but not nearly as juicy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Apple TV people did.
Just going back to Mayo also, and again, we're talking to Tommy Curran on the Harbor One Hotline. I am curious to see when he kind of, I don't know, not walks back comments, but kind of reverts back to the male that was a player that didn't talk, that kind of just gave you the one word answer before he was a superstar on Quick Slants. I wonder if he changes his tune. I feel like because I know he doesn't want to be anyone but himself, but I just keep going back to, man, you don't have that luxury anymore. You know, Curran can't edit it out for you. Curran can't save you is what I would tell him.
Yeah, and I think he needs to be reminded of that and explain that, you know, because it's different when you're on Quick Slants. I wasn't saving them. It was just people saying, oh, yeah, that's the Patriots' former linebacker talking on that show with Curran, the grab-ass Quick Slant show. Now it's, hey, that's the guy who used to be a linebacker who succeeded Bill Belichick and is running a $6 billion franchise. So the level of expectation for polish and succinctness is different. I think he has definitely improved from his opening press conference. I think his answers are succinct. They ask a question, he answers a question. He doesn't start wandering around in the wilderness. But he's not a finished product, and he has to understand that he works for the most, and I'm sure he does, but the parsing of the words and the way, because a team is right now dealing with adversity, is different. It's a different media climate than anywhere else in the country. And it's different because of the success it enjoyed. So the way your words are going to be parsed, used against you, are far different. And everything about you is going to be scrutinized and used against you, whether it's your experience, whether it's your business background, whether it's the way you talk.
You think that'll happen with – because I think Mayo – now, I'm speaking from an outsider looking in, especially with the media. I've never seen the media more happy than when they get to sit down with Mayo, because he answers questions. He's open about making sure you guys get everything you need. I'm curious, you know, how much criticism you guys give him early on. I'm interested to see how easy reporters are on him, because there is this whole narrative that he is a first-time head coach. We all loved him as a player. He was great as an assistant coach. He was great on Quick Slants. I wonder how much you guys will be critical of him. And I say you guys, I mean all the media.
Yeah, I certainly think that I, just in my last answer, was critical to a large extent of, I've been very critical actually in this entire conversation. So, but I think that the audiences will always phrase and interpret responses from people as they want. People hear what they want to hear. So even though I have been objectively discussing the guy, objectively discussing where the Patriots are and why they are where they are, people say, oh, well, Curran and Mayo used to work together. So if Curran doesn't kill Mayo, then he's not objective. So I think that people are attuned on the outside to hearing what they want to hear. So I don't think that people have been overly accepting of anything the Patriots have yet said. I think that they're, I mean, every question asked of spending, of the dynasty, of quarterback intentions, whatever, they've gotten it.
Yeah, I'll just speak for myself and say that I enjoy Jerod. I enjoy that he's a human being. I enjoy talking to him. And I've been critical of some of the missteps I think he's made. Like, I think burn some cash, whatever he intended to say there, it wasn't a great start to his tenure, either on this station or to lead into free agency. So I think a lot of people have actually critical of him when he has stepped in it a little bit. And he's a smart guy. He'll learn from those mistakes. Tom, why is Calvin Ridley not a Patriot? I feel like we've got a lot of muddy water in terms of taxes and girlfriends and wives.
What's the girlfriend?
Why is Calvin Ridley not a Patriot?
Again, and that's something we talked about right at the outset. The Patriots have to confront the fact that they're Siberia. And Robert Kraft's blaming Calvin Ridley's girlfriend or using her as the prime motivator. I don't even know if he has a girlfriend. He might be married for all I know.
The text line has said it actually is a wife now.
He may have both.
If it's the same person.
Maybe he misspoke.
Either way, lobbing it out there as the first reason is disingenuous. You can put it there at the end. You can say he didn't want to come to New England. And the fact of the matter is he didn't want to come to New England, but he sure as hell would have if he was Calvin Ridley in 2018 and Tom Brady was here. The guys want to come here. The Patriots, as Mayo alluded to, have no magnets. I love that phrase because it's true. And until they attract magnets, whether that be because they build around the position or because they draft a quarterback and they get to being a team that people don't want to play, they're going to be repellent to players who want to do well.
Well, I wonder if the magnet, one of the new magnets, could be the whole $50 million state-of-the-art workout facility that they're going to build, or the daycare situation that they're going to rectify. Like that was part of that player survey that I don't think Kraft was too happy about. Looks like he's listening, at least, to putting that money into those facilities.
Yeah, and again, he acted surprised.
Well, they don't like the workout room, which I think is ridiculous, but whatever.
I think he's a very, very good owner overall, and I know people have issues with the spending to a large extent. We discussed that already, but you can't. There's too many qualifiers that I'm hearing from Robert right now, i.e. the girlfriend, i.e. boy, I had no idea. Well, they sucked last year too. If you don't know, you're really attuned to going around the locker room. You need to go around the locker room even more, or somebody in the organization does, to get a pulse so that you don't get F's all over the board. You know, it's like when I'm watching Dynasty and I hear Robert say seven different times, you know, in 20 years I never stepped in, but I did on this.
And then there was the dramatic music, boom.
But he stepped in. I mean, there were a lot of step-ins for a guy who didn't do a lot of stepping in. So, anyway, that's how I feel about that. I mean, neither here nor there on the NFL player survey, but.
All right. Well, you've been pretty good today, even though you've been preoccupied with the golf courses out there. So we're going to let you go now so you can enjoy the sun because we're freezing our butts up here. Thanks, Tommy Curran on the Harbor One Hotline. So, Shohei Ohtani spoke, kind of, through an interpreter, but not really.
Uh-oh.
And also, Pete Rose. How about this? Pete Rose has jumped into the conversation, and he has some thoughts on the current Ohtani situation. We'll do that.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
No matter where you work from these days, take Gresh and Fourier with you on the Odyssey app. Favorite WEI.
As we slowly fade out, we see the New England Patriots NFL draft countdown. We are at 30 days, 7 hours, 33 minutes, and 36 seconds. 35 seconds. I can wonder if we can pay somebody to sit here and literally count off the minutes and seconds.
No.
You ever seen those crazy, you know, radio gimmicks, right? Hey, you sit on this roller coaster and whoever barfs or whoever can last the longest gets the tickets. Do something like that. Someone sits here and
that
they go.
That Beast guy does that with all his videos now with all his buddies.
Who's that?
Mr. Beast.
Who's Mr. Beast?
Forget it. Let's move on.
No, who's Mr. Beast?
Like the most popular YouTuber video content producer on the planet. Jesus H. Jiminy Joseph.
I bet Tom Brady on that boat and they were throwing footballs. You don't remember that? He's throwing them at the
I remember that, but that guy's name is Mr. Beast. I thought he would be a big fella, but he's a little fella.
I believe he's either a billionaire or on his way to being a billionaire.
Oh, that's why he's a beast, right? Because he's got so much money?
I don't know. He just kicks ass on content on the internet.
Okay. All right. Probably something we should do.
Yeah, you might want to take a few tips off him.
All right, so let's
by giving me a Lamborghini. That's what he does.
We got to do a couple things, okay? We got to find out what the hell is going on with Shohei Ohtani because he was supposed to have a press conference where he was going to take questions from the reporters.
He pulled a Bill Belichick.
Okay, and so I'm sitting here, I'm waiting for it. I'm like, all right, let's see what he has to say. Well, he ends up he doesn't actually take questions at all. he reads a prepared statement in Japanese, mm-hmm. and then his new interpreter kind of interpreted it for all of us. Here it is.
So I never bet on baseball or any other sports, or never have asked somebody to do it on my behalf. And I have never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports.
And that's it. That's all you got.
You got questions?
Are you surprised? I guess that's my question. Are you surprised?
Am I surprised about what?
That are you didn't surprised take that, well, one, that he didn't take questions? That would have been stupid, wouldn't it? First
yeah,
of all,
of
there
questions,
is an ongoing investigation
yeah.
going on.
Yeah, I, that's how ongoing investigations go. They go on.
And on and on. You won't even hear about this one ending, by the way. It'll just be over, and no one will even tell you that the investigation is over and they didn't find anything.
I am most interested by, so my, I don't really believe him, is like my first instinct, but I don't believe anybody. I'm kind of a cynic,
yeah.
and whatever.
It's
but
good
then
to have
I
one
see,
of those on your team.
Like Andrew Brandt, the former Packers president or whatever, who
yeah,
then
his
was
line
also
is,
an agent.
Yeah, his line is, isn't he with the guy that always says there will be lawyers?
Correct.
Is that his line?
And he's a lawyer.
Yeah.
And he is very dubious on Twitter of Shohei's story, basically
how
saying—
How is it? How could you not?
But for you and I to do it, talk radio hosts, cynics, just dudes, when a lawyer is openly cynical on Twitter, I feel like that's the next level. Because usually lawyers are a little more buttoned up, follow the facts, you can only go where the truth leads you, blah, blah. He's like— BS. He's calling BS on Twitter.
Yeah, and when you lead with, like, your first instinct is to lie— And then so you're starting with a lie in general. Now you feel like everything they say is either another lie or another cover up for that lie. And it just goes on and it never ends.
Plus, there's a lot of people that are calling into question just the technical aspects of this. Like, so your interpreter had full access to your bank and he's able to wire tons of money without the bank corroborating that it's you, like, or confirming, like, how did this access come about? You have other people involved. How are they not knowing? There's a lot of questions here, which is why he should not take.
Oh yeah,
Gerard Mayo would have taken questions,
oh,
and it would
yeah.
have gone bad.
But on the other hand,
right?
But if you look at it like this, but I hear what you're saying. But if I change my mind, I could see it this way.
Gerard Mayo would be like, "Am I a gambler? I don't know. I'm not sure. Do I gamble? Do I gamble? Maybe I don't gamble. What is gambling?"
So Pete Rose has some thoughts on this, and thank God for Pete Rose. I mean, talk
excuse
about
me.
Thank God for Pete Rose, because he kind of, in a way, takes a victory lap or definitely throwing some shade at the whole situation. Here's Pete Rose.
Hey guys, Matt Thrash here, enjoying some March Madness with my great friend Pete Rose, and we were talking about the current goings on in baseball right now, and Pete wanted to mention something.
Well, back in the 70s and 80s, I wish I'd have had an interpreter. I'd be scot free.
Listen, thank you,
well
Pete
played,
Rose.
Peter.
And that's why I said thank God for Pete Rose.
He had one last hit in him
because
he
that's
hit
really
the hell
it.
Out of that softball.
I mean, it is funny, though, when you think about, like, you know, the way we view – now, he was betting on baseball, obviously, so there's a problem there just, you know, in generality. And no one knows what Shohei Ohtani was doing or what he wasn't doing. Ongoing investigation.
Interesting. You know what that just became, though? Wish I had an interpreter. So the few years ago, it was Chris Carter telling us you got to have a fall guy. A few years before that, it was Ty Law having a cousin. Nah, that was my cousin's bag coming across the border. Right? You got to have somebody.
You got to have, yeah.
But this is.
You got to have a fall guy in the crew.
And you got to fall. Interpreters make good fall guys. And I know there's some people that go the other way, like, oh my God, I feel so bad. He was in a foreign land and he didn't speak the language. And this, his only interaction with the outside world is this one guy, his buddy, who was taking advantage of him. Like, okay, maybe that'll be true. I'd leave like a 2% chance that that's true. This is a massive scandal. And this ties into what Tom just said, Tommy Curran. When he was talking about Gerard and how every word is, like, parsed and the media here and everything's going to be, like, this is a massive media market. I read yesterday, I didn't see the press conference, but I read the AP story detailing it, and it said Ohtani read a letter in front of dozens of media members. And I'm like, dozens? Just dozens? Like, dozens implies what? There was, like, I don't
know. Half the crew there? Didn't tell anybody? They just, guys that were hanging around?
There's dozens of people at a Thursday afternoon Bill Belichick press conference at Gillette Stadium
for this media market. You're talking about one of the biggest scandals potentially in international sports history, right? He's an international star who just signed the biggest contract in the history of the world. There's an interpreter, there's lies, sex, tapes, who knows, whatever. And there was a couple dozen people there to hear him speak. Like, wow, we do have a different media market here. But no, I don't believe him. I just don't believe.
But he's such a nice guy. It's hard not to like him, and he doesn't say much. And if he does say something, he speaks through an interpreter. So how do you really understand it? But we will make sure we keep you up to date on everything that happens with the Shohei Ohtani, especially with opening day.
Thank God the Red Sox didn't sign him.
Oh yeah, I know, right?
Wouldn't have wanted him in Boston.
I would have loved for that.
Calvin Ridley, we let that gambler go to Tennessee.
I know.
Shohei Ohtani, we let that gambler go to the Dodgers.
But Keyshawn Booty, he's ours.
For now-ish. We'll see. Gerard's trying to save him.
So speaking of Booty, you don't want to miss the lighter side of sports at 12:45. I will just tease it that way, speaking of Booty. But first, let's recap what happened last night with the Celtics because they blew a 30-point lead, lost to the Hawks. Here's how it sounded last possession of that game last night.
DeJounte. Horford in a switch. DJ on the reverse. Hawks by one. Porzingis out to defend. DJ, no. Tip Capella. He gets it out to Hunter for three.
That's a dagger.
Against Bogey. Ooh, he almost stepped out of bounds, but he missed the layup. Rebound Horford with 3 seconds. He missed it. Tip in good, but only 1.2 left. Get it in cleanly.
Just get it in cleanly.
Thrown into the backcourt. Murray's going to run out the clock.
So that was the last three possessions. So it started with Jaylen Brown, an isolation miss, and you know, lockdown defense by the Atlanta Hawks, who are terrible at defense, by the way. It goes the other way. Murray with the offensive rebound, followed by a Hunter three. That put him up 121-16. Tatum with the layup after a missed layup. Ball gets knocked around. They're down 118-120. That's your ball game. That's the dagger. That's how they lost. Here is Jason Tatum post-game talking about the loss.
I mean, it's tough. You want to win every game you play. You know, for us, people think we never should lose. And, you know, we was up a lot, and we f***ed the game up. And we know that. We all adults and professionals, and we know we didn't do the things necessary to win. And I think that's sometimes easier to fix when you know if you do the right things and play the right way and how we're supposed to. We know usually what the outcome is going to be. So, like KP said, not overreact. Take it on the chin and get ready for Thursday.
So, Andy Hart, how did they F it up?
I mean, I think they took their foot off the gas, which is human nature. They went really cold from three. This is an example where if you look at the threes, the totality of the game looks fine, but it was heavily weighted towards the first half when they built that big lead. They were like 10 of 15 early and then 1 of 15 in the second half of something like that. There was a really massive split between the two halves. And I like Tatum's comment. I don't know how you feel, because if somebody says, yeah, we just effed up.
We effed the game up.
Like, there's really nothing more for me to ask.
Well, to your point, they missed 14 of 15 three-pointers after halftime. So they go up 30 in like the second quarter. The Hawks kind of chip away at it, and now they're down 18. So they go into halftime. All right, guys. Woo. Okay, don't let them. Don't take your foot off the gas. They do take their foot off the gas. But they go nutso. They go crazy with threes. Everybody's making a three. Next thing you know, they're down. And all I'm looking at, I'm like, okay, this is what Joe Mazzulla wants. Joe Mazzulla wants that, hey, let's see the late game, you know, heroics. Let's see the late game execution. Jaylen Brown gets the ball. Suddenly, they decide to play defense. He bounces around. It's a contested three-pointer. Tough shot. He misses it. Goes back the other way. They shoot a three. They miss it. They get the offensive rebound. Kick it out again. The guy knocks down a three.
Which was actually a bad shot, in my opinion. They get the offensive rebound. They're up one at that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Hawks were. Like, he shouldn't have shot that. Him shooting that is the only way the Celtics win, but he made it. If he misses that and there's that much time on the clock there, that's actually a really bad play, but he drains it, and that's why you win. And then the end of that game was as not embarrassing. That's probably not the right word, but they have 1.9 left in that inbound play where Jaylen Brown's just chasing and he can't catch him to foul him or do whatever they were going to do.
I love those. Nah, nah.
Like, it was just sort of sad the way it petered out. But to me, this is nothing to overreact to.
It's a bad loss. You blew a 30-point lead. Guess what? You had a 30-point. You were doing what you were supposed to do. You were dialed in, and then
that's why
NBA. This happens a lot. Like, this should never – I was trying to think of a 30-point lead in the NBA. What is that in football? Is that like a 21-point lead, or is that
– Okay, well, because I would say – because the NBA has done all these studies on like 20-point leads, and those are nothing.
Nothing.
So that would be like a touchdown. Three. That would be like a one possession lead, a touchdown.
Right.
30-point, it would have to be, call it 15.
Okay.
At least at least two possessions.
2 to 3 score win that you blew.
Not not technically a blowout, but hey, it depends on – usually if you have a 30-point lead in the second quarter is nothing. Nothing. You got half, and then they knocked it down to 18. Okay, now that's manageable. They come back in the third. You're like, okay, let's knock it down again. I think the Hawks had 98 points in three quarters. Now they can put up points with anybody. They can't play defense, so suddenly they become this lockdown defense, and they miss shots, and they do iso ball, and then they just don't get the shots, and they don't get the rebound. But I'm with you. No big deal.
I didn't know we were doing that segment right now.
No,
but
we're not.
But
you know what? Is a big deal though. I want to bring this up because I'm obsessed with it, and I want to get to the bottom of it. Okay. And again, speaking of bottoms and booty, 12:45, Light Side of Sports. You don't want to miss it.
You are Gerard Mayo 2.0.
You don't want to miss it.
You
no,
over.
You don't want this. No, you're gonna like it. And the people on Twitch are gonna love this.
I'm not a booty guy.
And this is
that ass.
And this is we can add this. Okay. So you're watching the game. Trae Young doesn't play in the game. He's on the sideline, playing clothes, and he's holding a coffee cup.
That's worse.
Do you believe that there is actually coffee in that cup?
Is it the same coffee that mothers at hockey games drink? Hockey
little
mothers.
Baileys in there?
Is that how it works?
Oh,
early morning hockey practice?
All those moms
really?
At hockey rinks, you think that's just Dunkin' Donuts? Wink, wink.
What, yeah, at 6 a.m. in the morning? Or are we talking about a 2 p.m. game?
I think it doesn't matter.
Really?
And that's why hockey parents are the craziest parents. It's not just that they're crazy, it's that they're liquored up crazy.
Well, all I know is that he was running up and down the court every timeout, every big shot, and he would not let this cup go. And it was just like the coffee cups we have here. There's no way there was coffee in that cup. Like it's an easy exercise. Right. And okay, can we just kind of smell it? Can we see what's really going on in there? Because if I'm an NBA player and this was a scheduled loss, by the way,
for who?
For the Hawks.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, it was like we have no business being out here, and it felt like that game was so boring.
It was over. Until
and
it
was
wasn't.
Like, all right, I am bailing on this. Yep. Start. I'm watching The Bachelor last night. I was even texting him like, dude, and you're like, what? 20-point loss? What? I'm like, damn it.
Caitlin Clark was on.
Another question for you: who's a bigger baby, Caitlin Clark or Jason Tatum?
Jason Tatum. I don't know. It's just a reaction.
No,
we may have audio later in that comparison.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're looking for that. All right, so let's do the lightest side of sports then right now. Let's do it.
Wait, what?
You're going to send him on a wild goose chase to get some Caitlin Clark sound that we have no business playing in the next hour and 15 minutes.
She's one of the biggest stars on the planet. What do you mean we have no – it's the women's
tournament. She is the biggest baby whiner, complainer, flopper in college basketball right now.
I don't know about that.
Absolutely.
To cut it out.
Did you see that clip going around?
Are they divorced, too? Is that why, like, they show the mom in one cutaway and the dad in one cutaway? Are they divorced?
Possibly.
Okay, because they always show
them separately. That's how I do it.
You would tell your kid to shut up.
I saw that. I literally, that is my life. The emotional outburst, the nonverbal body language that just drives me crazy.
That's basketball.
The whining. No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
And that's why I hate it. You're saying, you're accepting it. It isn't part of basketball. I've never seen a ref, after somebody complains, say, you know what, my bad, let me change it. In the pros, because they have video, but in high school and in college, they're not changing anything because you're bitching about it.
But that's basketball. Any game you go to, high school, college, AAU, the great players are always bitching. You ever seen LeBron? You ever seen Jason Tatum? They all bitch. It's the generational culture. And she
there is bitching, and then there's what she does.
You just don't like her, apparently.
No, I used to love her and appreciate her. But when I saw the flopping, when kids storm the court, and then she exaggerates a fall, when she purposely bumps into somebody and then flops and then tries to get the call, actually gets the call when she bumped into another player. It was so embarrassing. And then the bitching and complaining, And that when she's the biggest name in college basketball, is there a bigger name in men's or women's basketball than Caitlin Clark?
Nope.
She's the one.
Absolutely.
And that's what you're doing.
But this is what we do. We build stars up to just then tear them down. Oh, they got faults. We don't like what she said. We don't like the way she looked. Oh, she waved her hand in front of her face. This is what we do. People like you. Mediates.
Speaking of tearing down booties, what was the other one? What? Bottoms up? I don't even know what it was. How do you feel? How do all those things go into Happy Gilmore 2? That's the lighter side of sports next.
Time now for the lighter side of sports. Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss on Gresh and Fourier.
It's the lighter side of sports, sponsored by Awaken 180. Do what Gresh, Skinny Shime, and Andy Hart has done. Awaken 180. How much weight did you lose on Awaken 180 anyways?
On the program, about 20 pounds exactly, and then I've lost 3 or 4 pounds since.
There you go.
In maintenance phase.
Look at you.
Lean, mean fight. I can't wait for the summer. Take my shirt off, get some tan on the old six-pack.
Yeah. Let me make sure. When is the boat coming out?
We're not there yet. It's still cold. I'm uncovering the boat soon,
though. Okay.
I've looked at the cover like I'm getting
you're jonesing for it.
But then I walk outside and the wind chill's like
26.
Yeah,
it's too cold. Happy Gilmore, you're a fan of the movie, right?
I mean, yes.
Okay. So
is anybody of sort of my generation, the 90s,
it's funny.
I do wonder
how, like, our kids, like your son or my son, how would they appreciate the cult classic that is Happy Gilmore, starring Adam Sandler?
Not like, a classic.
Yeah, it is. It's
not a cult
is.
Classic. It's just a classic, right? Mm. Is that what we're going with?
And you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot.
Yeah, that's my guy.
So
that's
my son and his friends have seen some of these, but I feel like some of their attraction to them is they realize where I've gotten half my lines I've used over the years, and they're like, son of a half
I bet you. I bet you. Do you think
you suck? Yeah. Jackass.
You need to text your son and find out if he has seen this movie or not. Has he seen Happy Gilmore?
Oh, at least in portions.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Well, because there's a Happy Gilmore 2 coming out.
Okay, so, who's making it?
So, well, no, hold on. So, Christopher McDonald was on 97.3 The Fan in Cleveland.
The Fan, very creative.
I know, right? Does every city have a radio show called The Fan?
We don't, because we're cool.
So he played Shooter McGavin, okay? Obviously, everybody knows who a Shooter McGavin is.
And he's been very active on Twitter.
And he basically spilled the beans and says, hey, he ran into Adam Sandler, and Adam said gave him a rough draft of Happy Gilmore 2. So now where I direct everybody to go to Twitch. Go to Twitch, follow WEEI, because this was Coop's idea. Because there's a lot of people who are rumored to be part of Happy Gilmore 2. Because there's some people who are dead and will not be in the sequel. Like Bob Barker, dead at 99.
That's too bad.
Carl Weathers, who was Chubbs, dead. Yeah, rest in peace. The soundbite, you know, I don't know the actor's name, but he was Jaws in all the James Bond movies.
Richard Kiel.
He's passed away also, right?
Bitch.
You know what he did?
I think for a while.
Okay, Lee Trevino, is he dead? How about Lee Trevino? Is he dead? The former golfer? Because he was in the movie also.
His grandma must be dead, right?
I don't know.
No?
I don't know if your grandma's dead.
Yeah, shit.
Dead. Oh, gosh. Everybody's dead. All right, so let me know how you
long
think.
Long dead.
Lee Trevino alive. He's 84.
Okay, so somehow he's going to find his
Make
way into this
soon.
Movie. Yeah, hurry up. Okay, so the rough draft is out. So now all we have now are rumors of people who will be in the movie.
Okay.
Okay. Sydney Sweeney.
Okay.
You know who Sydney Sweeney is? Like
I could use a refresher.
Okay, so Coop is up on Twitch right now. If you want to know who a Sydney Sweeney is, there it goes. Okay, that's the worst picture of Sydney Sweeney. That wasn't the one I thought he would use, but that's Sydney Sweeney.
Looks fine to me.
She's been in a bunch of movies that my kids have seen. Very attractive, a younger lady. How about Margot Robbie? She is rumored to be cast to play Snack Bar Girl.
One.
Is that Margot Robbie? I don't know why Coop is bringing up pictures of
that
them
looks like
playing
Miley
golf.
Cyrus or something.
Because they're talking about Happy Gilmore 2.
I know, but
that's
like,
a bad
that
photo.
Is not, let me tell
she's
you,
golfing.
She
that's
will
a bad
not,
photo.
I get terrible direction on my part. I probably should have said, make sure you, show them in a bikini, because that's what they will be doing. All right, so this is Paige Spiranak. Is that Paige Spiranak, who is basically a golfer? There you go.
Basically, she's on, like, the women's
I
tour.
Know, but is she really?
Careful.
Well.
Careful.
What is she known for, Nick?
Golf.
She, you think the world of Spernak is known for golf?
Yes.
Or something else?
Golf.
Golf. What do you think something else is?
Well, there's two of them.
Chicks.
Yeah, her, I don't, I think.
Her feet?
Have you seen the video?
What?
So there's a,
her feet. He said feet. There's two of them.
There's two,
she has
of
two
them.
Feet.
How about this one? So, oh, there you go. That's Paige Spiernak. All right, that's
she's
what I know.
She's placing her ball.
She's listen, if
she's
you don't know who she
her
is,
ball
look
on
at
the
her.
Green.
There's a picture of her. You know the dream sequence that is in Happy Gilmore where his girlfriend, who is like the PR girl?
Yeah.
That's who they want. Paige Spiernak is actually politicking so she can be the PR girl from Happy Gilmore
that's
1.
That's an upgrade.
It is definitely an upgrade.
But Margot Robbie gets
not that much of an upgrade.
Snack girl,
huh? Yeah,
I think Julie Bowen's pretty good looking
from the original.
The original,
yeah,
yeah.
Well, compared to that,
cute. I would see Modern Family. Yeah, exactly.
That's her.
Oh, that's her. She's the mom.
She looks much better in Modern
oh,
Family.
Oh, definitely. I'll take the older version of her.
Yeah,
not the young one. I
is that something to do with us or her?
Probably us. Yeah. Probably definitely us. All right, how about
Julie
this
Bowen's
one?
Bowen's throwing gas.
So, Billy, need to get your opinion on this one. Okay,
I'm busy.
Because
oh, what's up?
Chubbs is dead not only in the movie but in real life.
Correct.
Okay,
they
the
are, more important aspect.
The rumor, okay, is that Tiger Woods is going to play Chubbs Jr.
Awesome.
He is going to be
bit my hand.
Oh my!
He's going to play
awesome.
His son in this movie in Happy Gilmore 2. Thoughts on
just
that?
Just the names you're throwing out there. This can't be real.
Why?
Well, these will.
It feels like there's too many huge yeah. names and something that's probably just going to be like a Netflix movie.
You know who's
again,
doing this right now?
Margot Robbie, Snack Girl. It made sense in your head. She leads like every movie
right.
she's in.
Right.
I know,
she
but
was, she
this
was
is
Bobby.
This is Gerard Mayo's
she was
promotion
Bobby,
of this.
Now,
we could get Tiger Woods. We could get that.
And
then
now
we're not going to get anybody.
But they're okay. Girl. So, okay. Just humor me this.
Of course.
Well, okay.
Go.
Hold on. Like, so the superstars will play in some of these. Bit movies, walk across the screen. They don't get paid a lot of money, but they're gonna want to be a part of it, and they're gonna want to be. What is it? The Wayne's World movies where the Spy Who Shagged Me and all that other
Austin
silly
Powers.
Austin Powers. He kept doing those movies, and stars kept having cameos in those movies.
I'll give you a better example in Grown Ups or Grown Ups 2 or whatever the Adam Sandler movies.
Both
not
awesome.
Only does he have all his boys, he's got Shaq. He's got Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like, he brings in some cameos to his movies. So I don't totally rule it out. My
yeah,
question is.
Actors.
No, but Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods.
I don't think Tiger Woods is going to have a large role.
He's perfect.
He is perfect for it. He is perfect for it.
Chubbs Jr. and have a small role.
Well, I mean, I don't know how much I would allow Tiger Woods to carry the movie. Like, Carl Weathers is a real actor. I mean, he's...
Yeah, no, I think you can do it.
He's
you
a real actor.
Did Shaq carry Grown Ups? No?
No, but he was good in it for the part that they placed him in.
And
it was great.
And I think Tiger is capable of being good if they produce it properly. Right?
Tiger
I'm just
Woods,
questioning the movie
that
as a
is,
whole.
That is the... That would be, as far as, like, dream scenario, Tiger Woods playing his son, and somehow... And the other part of this is that...
I'd rather him play the Lee Trevino role where he just shakes his head at him. No lines, no. I mean, he just had one line.
I would take that too, but he really works well as Chubbs' son.
He does. Now, would he have no?
So
hands?
The other part of this that it's so
she
instead
had
of being
Michael B. Jordan to play him.
Oh, that's another again another great idea.
Michael B. Jordan should play Chubbs Jr. He played his son in the Rocky movies.
And is this going to be a regular movie or is this another one of Sandler's? He owes Netflix like 10 movies. So
that's probably, it.
I'm assuming
maybe.
It's going to Netflix.
Yeah. So the other premise that was released in this whole radio interview from Shooter McGavin was the fact that it doesn't necessarily take place on the PGA Tour, that Happy Gilmore goes to like a their
live
version
golf.
Of live golf. Yeah, it's
like it.
So he goes to because wouldn't this work the way he tees off everything?
Absolutely.
Works perfect.
And it's in Dubai.
A Subway endorsement because he's gonna make $10 billion playing one tournament.
Yeah, I like it. I'm in.
I'm all in for Sydney Sweeney.
I'll be disappointed. I go
it's
in.
It's gonna
fully,
suck.
Yeah, no.
It's gonna suck. There's no way it's good.
Yeah, and we have a certain. There's a nostalgia for us, I guess, for the original in a certain phase of our lives or whatever. And now you go to this, it's not going to live
no,
up
it,
to the
it
hope.
No, it never, ever
no
works.
Sequel 25, 30 years apart is going to be good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
might be good.
Beetlejuice
good. Has a shot.
I kind of like all the Rockies.
No, but like, those were the difference between Rocky 1 and Rocky 6. Like, you filled those gaps in between.
You just mean the one long jump.
Yeah, like you didn't go Rocky 1 to Rocky Balboa.
So was Coming to America 2 not good?
Garbage.
Horrible.
I didn't see it.
Terrible. It was an
Is there
insult.
No example?
That was a money grab.
Is this a proven fact, Billy?
What do you mean? No. There are funny sequels, but I'm saying
no,
like,
I mean,
tough
like,
to find a sequel that is just as good.
Multi-decade. Give me a decade, 20
so
to 30
look at Dumb
years.
And Dumber. They did Dumb and Dumber, and then they did Dumb and Dumber 2, and that was hot garbage.
Yep. Nope. Okay. So now you got me even more down on this. I don't even want to see it. I'll watch it.
No, we'll watch it, of course.
Especially if I don't have to pay for it.
Okay. Well, there you go. Well, that's a lighter side of sports for today. Okay, so I promised you this, Andy. I received an email at my Odyssey email, okay? And I'm just going to title it Proof as to Why the Pats Sucked Last Year. I have proof, literal proof. And I also want to go back and look at the rules that we fought about earlier in the day. And listen to one clip from Robert Kraft down at the owner's meeting, the coach's meeting down in Orlando. We'll take a break real quick. We'll come back and we'll tell you why the Pats sucked last year.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.